I pray for people every night. Nearly every night we pray for somebody over the internet, and we get some kind of answer to prayer. It's amazing the number of people that we pray for that God heals or God delivers. I mean, it's just amazing that what you can get done if you pray.
Amen.
Now, if you don't pray, you won't get nothing done. But if you pray, and you can pray about anything. I got real tickled the other day about a man had a little spring. He was out working on a fence in an electric box, and he opened the box, and the spring popped out, and he dropped it in the grass, and he couldn't find it. I told him here a while back, I said, anytime you're out like that and something happens, pray. And then I said, when you pray, always thank the Lord for showing it to you, because he will. If you only pray and thank him with thanksgiving. So he prayed and thanked the Lord for it, and he looked for another hour. He gave up, said, well, I guess I ain't going to find that. So he go back and get something else. And so he went back and went to town, did whatever he'd done, and he come back and he says, I'm going to clean up my area here where I've been messing with all this stuff. So he's cleaning up there, and he says, there's a styrofoam cup across the fence up there a little ways. He thought, I don't want to leave that styrofoam cup sitting out there, so I'll go around the fence and get that styrofoam cup, and I'll throw it away. He goes up there and gets that styrofoam cup, turns it around, looks inside, and there's that spring down in that cup. The Lord brought it to him. He just called me and said, Thurman, I found my spring. It was in a cup. So I prayed and asked God, and God showed me. Now that if he hadn't prayed and asked God and thanked him for finding that spring, guess what? He'd never found that spring.
Yep.
I'll tell you one that's even more wild than that right quick while we're waiting.
We're ready whenever.
Okay. one of the young men that was helping me work on this building out here, we had on the back fence, we got a gate back there. Keep Cheryl's puppy in so she can't get out. Anyway, he's looking this little quarter-inch pin about maybe a quarter to half, maybe a half inch long at the most. It's a little bitty pin, and he's tightening this string, this spring, to put it in. And all of a sudden, that little thing he was holding slipped, and he heard that pin say, zing! And it went out there and hit the wall out there. The fence, bang! Now then, there is no telling where that thing went. I mean, it went zing and bam! I heard it hit the fence, so I know it's way out there, far near that wall. So, but he said, Lord, I thank you for showing me where that pin's at. I thank you for fixing it in Jesus' name. He didn't pray in much faith. Sometimes we don't pray in much faith. You know that? But he prayed. Thought, wow, wow, wow. So anyway, after he prayed, he thought, well, he went ahead and did what he's doing. And then he come back to the house, and that night he was getting ready to take a shower, and he reached up here and he started unbuttoning his shirt. When he did, he felt something in his pocket. He reached down in there, and there's that quarter-inch pin in his shirt pocket. Now, what can God do? So why do you hesitate to ask him to heal you? Do you think he's going to have trouble healing you? You or your children? No, he's not going to have no problem. So now Cheryl's going to tell us a couple of things before we get going. Here we go. The lovely bride, Cheryl.
Yes, Thurman was saying that we see people healed all over the world. We had a lady up in Canada that had stomach cancer, which is incurable. There are a lot of things that people think are incurable. And so we didn't know the lady. We didn't know anything about her life. It was her great niece that wrote us an email and said, will you pray for whatever her name was? I can't remember now. And so we prayed for her. The next day there was no cancer, and they let her go home.
Amen.
I mean, really.
What can God do?
God,
he can do anything you can believe him for. That's a secret.
That is a secret.
You've got to be able to believe.
That is a secret.
Only believe. Praise the Lord. Okay.
We need a few more. Okay, we had someone call in this week saying their husband had surgery and it was successful down in El Salvador. That was Barbara. And then we had a young lady called. She said, she emailed. She said, I have a praise report. I asked God to help me find my math test because I had no idea where it was. And she's like a freshman in college. And she said, I just found it. Praise the Lord. So she, you know, God works. He cares about all the little things.
For sure.
And that's for sure. This one, this man is in Ireland. He said, I need your audio CD because I've been listening to your preaching on YouTube. My name is Cooperette. And has helped strengthen my faith and got me one of my dream cars. Glory to God. So you taught him how to pray. Sir, kindly help me with some of your audio CDs. God bless. And he sent a Donegal, Ireland. And so he was happy he got one of his dream cars. And then this one lady wrote us this past week. Her son. She said, I'm asking for prayer for my son, Joshua, who's been sick since November 26. He's 18. I've commanded the demon of sickness to come out of him, but for some reason he's still suffering with no sleep, a racking cough, and now he's having trouble breathing. He does not get this kind of sickness, and when the enemy tries to put sickness on him, he always overcomes. Well, this time, I don't understand what's going on. He's already missed a week of work. Will you please pray for him? I'm expecting supernatural healing. Thank you so very much, and may God bless and keep you always. So we prayed. We wrote back and said, we prayed for Joshua, and it's done. Praise the Lord. Then she wrote back. Let's see, how many days was that? December the 9th. It was December the 9th. December the next day, December the 10th, she writes, thank you so very much, Pastor Scribner, for the prayers for Joshua. He got up this morning and is moving around and will be going out to work tomorrow. I kept seeing those demons attacking him and was binding, pleading the blood of Jesus against him. God is so good. Your prayers really did bring about the healing. And I will call the ministry. Thank you for telling me. I wish you most blessed, happy, and joyful day in the Lord. May God continue to bless you and keep you in his loving care. Okay, then we just passed these out to you, okay? You notice on the left side, the hands have eczema. This is Carla. And Carla emailed us a year ago, October the 4th of 2018. And she said, I have this terrible eczema on my hands. I don't know why it won't leave. She said, I've been listening to your YouTubes, and I got healed of MRSA. I had MRSA for 3 years, which is supposedly incurable. And she said, I did what you said on your CDs. I went to the elders of my church, had them anoint me with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and she got healed of it. So she was all happy about that. But she said, I don't understand why God won't heal my hands. And so we wrote back to her, and we told her that it was self-hatred, that she didn't love herself, and that God commands you to love yourself. It's a sin if you don't love yourself, because he says love your neighbor as yourself. So that's what it means, love yourself. So she didn't agree when she got the email back. She didn't agree with what we wrote her, and so she just spoofed it off and said, well, whatever. And so then in December, the middle of, I think it was December 14th, she was of 2018, okay? So it's been 2 months now. They're almost two and a half months, whatever. So she's talking to the Lord. She got up one morning early and was in her living room with a blanket around her because it was cold where she lives. And she's talking to the Lord and saying, Lord, I just don't understand why you don't heal my hands and why I have this. And he audibly spoke to her, and he said, self-hatred and self-loathing. She said, so then now she believes it. So, yeah, but that's okay. I mean, we're just the messenger people here. That's what we do. We tell you what we know, and then God deals with you however he deals with you. The Holy Spirit comes in. So she then went. She said, I despise myself, so I despised everyone. So she had to get right with all these people. She had to get right with herself. And it took her several months. It took her 8 months. And finally, she sent it, and she said she prayed to the Lord after she got everything cleaned up. She, again, did the prayer of faith like Pastor Thurman told her on the YouTubes. And she said that, and she repented of all her sins. And she asked the Lord to heal her hands and make them more beautiful than they were before. And so then she sent us this picture. And her hands, she's 70. She said, my hands are more beautiful than before. The Lord healed her. And she's just, you know, so happy. But it's amazing, you know, that God could show her something on a YouTube video and she get hold of it, and she uses it. And, of course, yes, she didn't agree with what we sent her, but when she finally heard it straight from God, then she knew what she needed to do, and she had to correct the situation. And that's what Thurman teaches.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You have to believe. That's the secret. James 1. Let's see what James 1, let's read a little bit in James 1. I guess start verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. And James chapter 1, let's read just a little bit and see what that says. Praise the Lord.
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations.
What kind of problem? What doesn't the Lord know I don't like problems? And I'm supposed to consider it all joy? Lord, thank you. Read that one more time, honey. You must have misread it.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or various temptations.
Wow. Lord, I praise you and thank you for the shaking of my hands. I know you've got something going on here. I don't know what it is, but I know you're going to do something great. I know that you bore my sickness and removed my disease, so I know that it's a done deal. I don't know what you're doing, but Lord, I consider it pure joy.
Amen. Amen.
In fact, I guess I could say I consider it pure joy since my hands, they work. They still move. I could have them cut off, I guess, huh?
No,
I don't want that. I really don't want that. So, Lord, I thank you that I don't understand what you're doing, but I know you know what you're doing.
Amen. Yes.
Read a little further.
Next verse. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Lord, I have all the patience I need.
Yeah, amen.
I don't need any more. You know, that's not what he said, was it?
No.
Read on a little further.
But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
I want to be healed, Lord. I don't want nothing to be a shortcut. I want everything. Read it a little more.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
Okay, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. If I need wisdom, let me tell you how that works. Standing right here. There was a man and a woman came up for prayer at a healing school. She looked at me and she said, Pastor, I've read and listened to your teaching on breast cancer. I have breast cancer. And I know you say it's my unforgiveness toward a female that's causing that, but she said, this time you're wrong. I do not have any unforgiveness toward any female. Do you hear me? I am not have unforgiveness. I said, well, all I can say is the evidence is against you. It appears you have it, and you don't know who it is. Cheryl said, honey, let me talk to her a minute. So Cheryl started talking to this lady, and her husband's standing over there, and she's standing right here between me and her. Cheryl's talking to her. So I said, Lord, I know that I lack wisdom in this case, so I need you to tell me what the problem is. I need wisdom in this woman's case. I need you to tell me why she's got this breast cancer. And I said, Lord, thank you. Now, see, when you ask the Lord for something, what should you always do?
Thank him.
Thank him for the answer.
Yeah.
Always do everything in its entirety. And so I said, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me wisdom in this case. And it sounded out loud. I know it's in my spirit. I heard the Lord say, ask her if her husband has ever committed adultery on her. I said, "Sure, honey, hold it. Hold it just a minute." I said, "I just had a word of knowledge from the Lord. He gave me a word of wisdom. He told me that she has a problem with her husband." I said, "Has your husband ever committed adultery on you?" And she said, she turned around and looked at me right now, and she said, "Yes, he did, but 15 years ago." But she said, "I forgive him completely." And the Spirit spoke to me again, said, "Ask her if she's forgiven the woman he committed adultery with." I said, "How about the woman?" And when I said, "How about the woman?" she just went. I said, "Oh, now we know what the problem is. Your unforgiveness towards against this woman is your husband committed adultery." I said, "You have not forgiven her." She said, "You are 100% right. I have not forgiven that woman for having adultery with my husband." I said, "You want to forgive her or you want to lose your breasts?" She said, "I don't want to lose my breast." I said, "Then you got to forgive her." I said, "Is that woman worth you losing your breast or maybe even dying for?" She said, "Absolutely not." I said, "Then forgive her." What is it we don't understand about forgive? What is it we do not understand? So anyway, she forgave her. And we prayed the prayer of faith for them. And the next month, they come to the healing school. And guess what? She was healed. That's exactly right, brother. She was healed. She had no cancer of no kind, no unforgiveness. I thought to myself, James 1, 6, and 7. One more time, honey. Read that verse. Start with verse 6.
Oh, we hadn't got there. We're in 5.
Okay.
About lacking wisdom. Yes, ask God. Okay, next verse. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Next.
Read the next line.
For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
Now let's stop and think about what we're fixing to talk about. If any man lacks wisdom, and how many of us need wisdom? I need wisdom. You need wisdom. We all need wisdom. I was telling this young lady back here a while ago from Pennsylvania or wherever they're from, up north somewhere, that I prayed for little Jenna for a year and a half. She said, "I thought you only prayed for her a couple of weeks." No, I prayed for her for a year and a half. When we finally found the sin, then we prayed a couple of weeks. Actually, we prayed one time, and in a couple of weeks, she was completely healed. But if any man lacks wisdom, and that's all of us, let him ask God. So when we come to the Lord and we pray for somebody, do we always need wisdom?
Yes,
we always need wisdom because we may not be able to find the sin that's causing their problem. And I stand in awe to think of the number of people that I prayed for and prayed for and prayed for and never got an answer till I found the sin that they were hiding. When I found the sin and they repented of the sin, then you pray for them, they get healed. It's just almost every time. I remember whenever I went up to, actually, Bill Gothard. How many of you have ever heard of Bill Gothard? So many of you have heard of Bill Gothard. Well, a few years ago, I'd never heard of Bill Gothard. I never had been to one of his seminars or nothing. I didn't know who he was. But the man called me and said that one of the people that worked for him came down here to a healing school and got healed. And he wanted to know how I do it. I told him, I said, "Well, I use God's word. That's what I do." Did you find or see somewhere in the Word of God where it says that he sent his word and healed us?
Yes.
Psalms 107:20 or something like that?
Yes, Psalm 107:20.
And he sent his word and healed us.
Yes.
So his word, when he sends his word, to let you know what's causing your problem. And then when you use his word and you do what his word says, he'll heal you every time. God's promises are always yes and amen. But anyway, We prayed. I told Bill what I'd done. I talked to him, and he said, "What scriptures do you use?" And I told him, "Well, a whole bunch of them." So I give him a whole bunch of scriptures, and he said, "Well, I'm going to check you out." And I said, "Okay, that's good." So a couple of weeks later, he called me and said, "Thurman, do you know what those scriptures you told me, you know what they say in the Greek?" And I said, "Same thing they say in the English." He said, "You're 100% right." And I said, "Well, that's what I use. If God said in His Word, He sent His Word to heal us, then what do you think I believe He did? I believe He sent His Word to heal me, don't you? If He sent His Word to heal me, then I'm going to use His Word." And so anyway, a couple of days later, or a week later, whatever it was, he called me and said, "Thurman, I got a boy here by the name of Andy. That Andy is down in his back. I got a woman right up here on the front row that came to me. She was down in her back. I mean, you were really down. You'd been down in your back for 7 years?
Yeah.
7 years Kim had been down with her back. So anyway, we need wisdom. We need to know what's going on here. We want her to get healed. But just like Bill Gothard, when Bill called me and told me, he said, "I got a boy by the name of Andy. He's down in his back." And said he went to the doctor this morning, and the doctor gave him 3 things to do, and all 3 of them lead to surgery. So he said, "Let's call Thurman and see what he says." And so they called me, and I said, "Okay." So I said, "Let me talk to him. I got to find his sin." He said, "You got to do what?" I said, "I got to find his sin." I said, "The sin and sickness are directly related in so many cases. It may not be 100% of the time, but anyway, they definitely are related. So if you want to get somebody healed, you need to make sure that you've got them to quit sinning. If they're sinning and that's what caused the problem, as long as that sin's there, they won't never get healed. So anyway, I said, "I don't know what Andy's sin is, but he's got some kind of a sin." Bill said, "Thurman, you think that every time somebody has a problem like that, the sin and sickness are directly related?" I said, "Well, it appears that's the way it is." Now, let me tell you the scripture that I kind of got hung up on. In fact, I'd like for Cheryl to read a scripture, and I can't think what scripture I'm looking for right now. Just, I'll think about it in a minute. But anyway, Exodus 15:26, I think. What is Exodus 15:26 say?
It said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee."
Okay, now that I want you to think about that scripture. If you look at that scripture that Cheryl just read, Exodus 15:26, if I obey God, one more time, read that slow and carefully, honey.
And said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God."
Okay, now wait just a second. Let's think about this. If I will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord. If I will diligent. You know what it means to be diligent? So this is what we think. You come to church on one day, and you read for 15 minutes, then you get up and go to lunch, and you go somewhere else and do something else. And you throw your Bible down on the table as you go by, and you don't even know where you put it till next Sunday when you get ready to go back to church, if you go back next Sunday. That says if you will diligent. Is that what that said?
Yeah.
Read that one more time.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God.
reason.
And we'll do that which is right in His sight.
And we'll do that which is right. Okay, now if God says you're supposed to do certain things a certain way, if this is right, if you will do that which is right in His sight, and if, the way to find out what's right in His sight is to read the Word, because this is what He's telling you to do, right?
Yes.
Okay, so read a little further.
And we'll give ear to His commandments.
And give ear to His commandments. In other words, whatever the commandments are that He gives you, does He plan for you to obey them?
Yes.
He really does. He plans for you to obey them. And then what does He say?
And keep all His statutes.
Keep how many?
All.
Keep how many?
All.
Now, wait a minute. All. What is it that's left out of all? So why do we not do that? Read a little further, honey.
I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians.
Now, wait a minute. Now, I want you to think about this a minute. If you will do what I say, and you will obey me, then I, who is I there?
God.
I mean, if that I is God, think about that. Who is it? In other words, this is the wildest thing in the world for us to try to remember. In this particular case right here in this verse in Exodus 15, who is it that put the sickness on these people?
God.
Who?
God. Lord.
People will tell you that God would not do that. He cannot do that. But according to the scripture, He did it.
Yep.
I just stand in awe at what that says. And I've read that scripture over and over and over, and I've read it hundreds of times, and I can't get nothing out of it other than that it means what it says.
Yeah.
And it says what it means.
Yep.
So read a little further.
For I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Okay, read on a little further.
Next verse. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters.
Okay, let's go back to James 1. James 1, 6 and 7. Let's go back to James 1, 6. Read James chapter 1, verse 6. Before Cheryl reads that, let me just ask you a question. The scriptures that she just read, to me, now you may get something totally different than I got out of that, but to me, that scripture that we read, Exodus 15:26, certainly looks like God is the one that's putting the sickness on you. Does it really look like that? I mean, you could easily understand that God might discipline you or judge you. In other words, I know preachers that won't go there with me, but I mean, that's what it said. Is that what it said?
Yes,
okay.
I think it sounds more like you're putting it on yourself.
It is amazing that you look at that and see what that says. But anyway, yeah. If you ask this question, do you believe God kills? People will say, no, God would never kill you. But Deuteronomy 32:39, I want you to read that and see what that says. Deuteronomy 32:39. Listen to what that says. Well, it starts off saying, I.
See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand.
Okay, when you look at that, what does it look like he does?
Life and death.
Life and death in the power of God. Anyway, when I looked at all that and listened to all that, that day Bill called me with Andy's problem. He's down at his back. I told him, I said, Bill, we got to find Andy's sin. I said, he's got a sin. He said, Thurman, I can't go there with you. He said, I don't see that in that scripture. But the scriptures that we just read, I don't see how you see anything else. Do you? You understand where I'm coming from? So if you want to get healed, you want to make sure that you're pleasing God. Because he's the one that releases the healing, or he's the one that withholds the healing. I mean, if you want him to heal you, he wants you to be an obedient son. Do you see that? And when you take the new scripture, the New Testament, he says, now don't go and sin anymore. Once you get saved, he says, now leave your life of sin. Is that what he said? What does it mean to leave your life of sin? It means to quit sinning. I mean, I realize that, you know, some people will tell you you can do anything, you're living under grace, but I'm telling you, you want to make sure that once you repent of all your sins, that you walk in love and obey him and do what he said, and I guarantee your life will go a whole lot better than it does if you go out and start living in sin.
Amen.
So we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So anyway, if you want to get healed, I'm trying to tell you, you need to find out what your sin is. If you want to find out what your sin is, you ask God. If you don't know what your sin is, you don't know what you've been doing. That's like I was telling a man a while ago. I said, you know, he said something about prostate problems. I said, well, if you've got problems with prostate, you know, you've been looking at the women where you ain't supposed to look. And he said something. Do men look at women where they ain't supposed to look?
Yep.
They really do. So anyway, if you want to get rid of your prostate problem and obey God, quit looking at the girls where you're not supposed to look. There's no curse. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy in Proverbs 26:2. And I want Cheryl to read Proverbs 26:2 and see what that says about the curse. 26:2, Proverbs 26:2.
As a bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come.
Okay. If the curse, which is sickness and disease, causeless, cannot come to pass, then the devil cannot put sickness on you without legal claim. And so if you're sinning, and most of us do, most of us invite the devil into our house on a regular basis and we don't even know it. But the Bible is an awesome book. So anyway, as we're trying to get the curse, if the curse is there, it's there because you did something to open the door to let the curse in. Because the curse causes cannot come to rest. If the curse without a cause can't come to rest, I told Bill that time. I said, if Andy's got a problem with his back, he's got a problem because of some kind of sin. So he said, Thurman, I just can't believe this with you. I said, well, I said, that's what God said. So all I do is say his word. I said, let's just find Andy's sin. Let's see if we can find it and we can get him healed. So anyway, we started looking for Andy's sin, finding the sin that boy committed. We go down through the scripture and we look and we look and we look. And finally I said, Andy, you're a good, fine young man. I don't see a whole lot of sin in your life of no kind. But I said, there's something somewhere that you're not doing, that's opening a door to the devil, and he's winning our case instead of you and me. So I said, we got to find what that sin is, Andy. I said, I said, Andy, do you believe every word of God's word? And he said, yes, sir, I guarantee I do. I said, okay, let me ask you this question. Do you know what Matthew 18:19 says? He said, well, I don't know. I don't have it committed to memory. I said, turn over to Matthew 18:19 and read that scripture. So Cheryl's going to read to you what Andy read to me out of Matthew 18:19. What does that say? Matthew 18:19, what does that say, Cheryl?
Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Okay, now stop and think about that. What did he say right there? If how many of you?
Two.
How many?
Two or more.
How many?
Two or more.
How many?
Two.
If two of you agree about what?
Anything.
It might be done?
It shall.
It shall be done?
Uh-huh.
Now, wait a minute. That couldn't be what that says. If that says what it says, then why is anybody in the church ever sick? I mean, if that really means what it says, stop and think about that. If that little scripture, if that really means what it says, and do you believe that means what it says?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
If how many?
Two.
How many?
Two.
Wherever have you got to be?
On earth.
Two of you what?
On earth.
I don't know.
I mean, what does the scripture say? What does the scripture say? If two of you were?
On earth.
Oh, so that means you can't be out there on the moon or something. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
If two of us, is that what he said?
Yes, sir.
If Jesus said two of us on earth agree about what?
Anything.
It might be done for you?
It shall.
What does shall mean?
Absolutely, without a doubt, will be done.
I like his definition. But that's what it said, didn't it, brother?
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute now, if that says that, and I got a boy here who's got a problem with his back, and I can't find no sin in his life, everything's going good, he seems to be doing everything right, but yet he's in pain, and riding around in a wheelchair, or a walker, if you have that scripture, and that verse really means what it says, like this young man said, absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's what it says.
Guaranteed.
You're getting it, son. Jesus loves that. I've come to realize that when I guarantee it, how many of you have heard me say I guarantee it?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
And it works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it does. But just think. If I got a problem and I got a boy that's down in his back and he's walking with a walker or whatever, and I got a scripture like that that says if two of us agree about anything, what'd that say again? If two of us agree, one more
again
time.
I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
No, wait a minute. Do we believe that?
We believe it, brother.
We really believe that?
We believe it.
Do you really believe that? You really believe that?
Yes, sir.
How about you, young lady? You really believe that?
Uh-huh.
I mean, after all, Jesus said it, didn't he?
He did.
If two of you on earth agree about anything. So if I've got that verse, and I can ask anything, What should I do in a case like this now? I got a boy down in his back. He's got a problem. I mean, if I can say, okay, Lord, I'm going to take this Matthew 18:19 that we just read about. I'm going to read that one more time.
Again, I say unto you, that a two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
So, Father, in Jesus' name, according to Matthew 18:19, for little Andy Warner, I praise you and thank you that you give us a verse. We watch over your word to confirm your word. So I'm going to ask you to do a complete healing on little Andy's body from top of his head to the bottom of his feet and make everything in his body work perfect. And I want to thank you for doing it for Andy. And I thank you for Andy's complete healing and Andy's complete deliverance. And I praise you and thank you for healing Andy in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, when I did that, everything went crazy in heaven. God is answering my prayer. I've done everything according to his word. He sends the Holy Spirit to heal Andy's body right now. And I said, okay, Lord, and when I said that final thank you, I said, Andy, do you agree with me? Do you believe? And he said, I do. I said, well, then thank the Lord for your complete healing. He said, Lord, thank you, I'm healed. I said, Andy, I got to go to a Bible study class. Call me tomorrow with your praise report. Do you hear any faith in that?
Yeah.
So I hung up the phone. And I went to my Bible study. The next morning at 7 o'clock, my phone was ringing. And it was Bill Gothard and Andy. Andy had been completely, totally healed.
Hallelujah. Woo!
And to this day, little Andy is still totally, completely healed. I mean, now, what was the sin? Well, what was the sin that in all that story that I told you? What there is the man back here in the back. That's exactly what was it?
Unbelief.
And that's why whenever you sin, that's why Jesus stood up there and says, "Okay, boys, if you can believe nothing, it'll be impossible with you. Nothing." Well, Lord, why could we not heal that little boy? Then he said, "Because of your unbelief." I made you the promise. Did he make us the promises?
Yes.
So now that if we don't believe, if any man needs wisdom, let him ask who?
The Lord.
And then thank him for his answer.
Yeah.
Why in the world do we not do it God's way? Why can't we believe? When I learned this and I started praying for people, I'll give you some examples how it works. I'm teaching these principles, and there's a doctor. He come out here, sitting right here in this chair. I said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I'm down in my back." I said, "Okay, you got a sin in your life." I said, "What do you do? You're a businessman?" He said, "Yes, I'm a doctor." I said, "Okay." I said, "You have any kind of problem with women?" I said, "Are you married?" He said, "Well, yeah." I said, "Are you and your wife getting along?" He said, "Not really." At least he was honest. Do you know a man anywhere that's not getting along perfect with his wife? Yeah, I do. I know a few. So I told him. I said, "You know, you gotta walk in love with your wife." He said, "Well, you mean that would keep me from being down on my back?" And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what to do. Let's say, Lord, I repent, and I promise you I'll love my wife." So he did that. I said, "Okay, now then, Scripture. Mark 16:17-18 says this. Mark 16:17-18. I want you to look at this. Cheryl's going to read this. Mark 16:17-18. In fact, I'm going to take the last line, just to start off with, the last line of Mark 16:18, what does it say? Mark 16.
Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
What does that say?
They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
What does that tell me I got to do?
Lay hands on the sick.
Lay your hands on the sick.
That didn't seem very hard. Did that hurt you when I did that?
Oh, no.
You didn't feel the thing, right?
No.
But what did he tell me to do?
Lay hands on the sick.
And what did he say they'd do?
Shall recover.
That's what he said.
Amen.
That's not very difficult, is it?
No.
But why is it we've got to go to some high doctor? And when the doctor was out there, he couldn't even get healed himself. So I prayed for him. I just laid hands on him. And I said, now then, I guarantee it works. I guarantee your back's healed. In Jesus' name. I guarantee it. Did God say I've got to believe with no doubt in my heart? I have to believe with no doubt in my heart? And I guarantee it. Do you guarantee his word works? That's you. You believe his word works? It's what I'm teaching you right out of God's word? So anyway, I told the doctor he's healed, and he started moving around. He said, oh, it still hurts just as bad as it ever did. I said, it's not going to be a miracle. A miracle, it would have been healed just like that. But a healing takes time. And I said, obviously, God's going to take a healing and he's going to heal your back and not do a miracle. So he sat back down. I said, okay. And when he got ready to go, he got up here. He looked back and he said, Thurman, it still hurts just as bad as it ever did. I said, don't tell me that. Say, Lord, thank you, I'm healed. Lord, thank you. Your word says lay hands on the sick. And did he say lay hands on the sick and they get well? Now, can God lie? No. He can't lie at all. So he goes out to the car, opens the car door, starts to get in and sit down, and all of a sudden he ain't got no back pain.
Hallelujah.
So the next Sunday, two Sundays, actually he was out of town the next week. And the next Sunday, two Sundays later, he was there and he said, Thurman, he said, this stuff you teach really does work. He said, I've been looking for 2 weeks for that back pain and I can't find it nowhere. I said, well, why don't you quit looking for it and just start praising him for healing you? Isn't that something? Lord, I thank you that I'm healed. On Jesus' precious name, I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. I am healed in Jesus' name. Now then, if you believe. In fact, let's read that scripture again. One more time. James 1, 6 and 7. Just read James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. See one more time what it says.
But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed.
Okay.
For let
stop
not...
Stop and think about this a minute. If I go to the Lord and I ask him for wisdom about a situation, why somebody's sick or what the problem is, whatever he tells me, I know I've got to believe that with no doubt in my heart. If I doubt that God can do what he said. What did he say? Read that one more time. We got to let this soak in.
But sure. Let him ask in faith.
Let him ask in what?
Faith.
What does that mean to ask in faith?
Believe it.
What did you say?
Believe it.
Read it a little more.
But
let him ask in faith what?
Nothing wavering.
Wait a minute. You come out to my healing school. I'm going to teach you the word of God. I'm going to guarantee you that God's word works, that he'll heal you if you'll do what he says. And if you'll believe that, with no doubt in your heart, I'm going to guarantee you, God's going to heal you. It's going to work every time. I guarantee it. Now then, you'll see a doctor. Do you hear any faith in that?
No.
That's what we do. We do that every time. I guarantee there's not a person, there's not one single person in this room that whenever you got sick or got feeling bad or some pain or whatever, that you didn't go to a doctor. I mean, everybody here, they may not go to God at first, but eventually they will eventually get to God because it'll get down to where ain't nothing happening. And you think, I need some help, Lord. And he said, when you prayed, when you asked me last time, I sent the help. But then once you got, in fact, I had a guy that was a member of the Church of Christ. And he wanted to be prayed for. But he taught him these principles, you got to believe with no doubt in your heart. And so he said, okay, we're going to see how this works. So we're going to go to James 5:14. I want you to see what James 5:14, 15, 16 says. Listen to this. Listen to this magnificent promise of healing for people that are sick.
Is any sick among you?
Is how many?
Is any sick
is
among
any,
you?
Any? One more time.
Is any sick among you?
Am I hearing her right?
Yeah.
She says, is there any sick among you?
Yep.
Is there somebody in here that's got a sickness today?
Yep.
Okay, there's, we need, okay, read on then. Obviously, this is us, Cheryl.
Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church.
Okay, now wait a minute. Call for the elders. We got any elders in here?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
I'm one. You feel like you're one? We got some, okay. Praise the Lord. Do we all need help? Read on, honey. Read on a little more.
Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord.
That don't sound too hard, does it? Anointing with oil? How hard would that be to anoint with oil? If I had some oil, all I could do is... Is that hard? Okay, so that wasn't too difficult.
Hard part's finding elders that believe.
You are so right, brother. Oh, my Lord. The hard part's finding the elders that believe. Oh, Lord, never begin to understand where the problem's at. Okay, read on, buddy.
And the prayer of faith.
The prayer of what?
Faith.
Lord, if it be your will you please heal my brother?
Oh, no.
Lord, if it be your will, Lord.
No.
Is that what we do?
We hear that
all the time. Just like the brother said, you can't find an elder that believes. Lord, please heal so-and-so. But now, after we pray for you and anoint you with all, just to make sure, we got a spot down in the hospital. Go down there and check yourself. Oh, Lord. What is wrong with us, Lord? We need help, Lord. Praise. Read on, honey.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
No, wait a minute. There's the problem. And the prayer of what?
Faith.
Let me anoint you with all. Let me pray the prayer of faith for you. Now, I guarantee that after I pray for you, I guarantee God's going to heal you in Jesus' name.
Amen. That's it.
Is that the prayer of faith?
Yeah, that's a good prayer of faith.
Okay, read on.
And the Lord shall raise him up.
And who?
The Lord.
Not Thurman.
No.
No, not Thurman.
Who's going to raise him up?
The Lord.
The Lord. Okay, read on.
And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Okay, just in case. We'll cover everything. Just in case you've committed some kind of sin, you will be forgiven. Is that what he said?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So is it a guarantee that God will forgive you when you pray?
Yes.
Yes, you don't have to go back and beg and plead God to forgive you of sin. He promised that when you pray the prayer of faith, he'll just forgive all your sins. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Okay, read on.
Confess your faults one to another.
Do what?
Confess your faults.
Confess your faults. Is a fault a sin?
Yes.
Confess your faults. Confess your sins one to another. And read on a little further there.
Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed.
Okay, so there's a secret right there. You got to pray for one another and find your elders and pray the prayer of faith for them and then anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith for them and keep on reading.
Okay, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Think about what we just read. There's a couple more verses here I want Cheryl to read, too. Read on a little more, honey.
Next verse.
Just keep on reading. James 1:6, that same place.
Well, Elias was a man subject to like passions.
Yeah.
As we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins.
Okay, now stop and think about that. If you don't know this, and you don't know to find the sin, so if that person does not, if the sickness that they have is due to a sin, and they don't confess that sin, you'll never get an answer to your prayer. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's best to read God's word over and over and over. Okay. Wait a minute. Let me get a microphone here. Dave got on me real heavy when somebody answered before. He said, you can't hear on the internet. You can't hear nothing they say. So.
Thank you. So, like this gentleman said, if you don't know any elders or there's no elders that believe this, and you know a couple godly men that do believe this, but they're not technically elders, can they go and anoint them with oil, or do they technically have to be an elder?
No, I think the elder means it's just a man that's an older man that's solid in the word.
Okay.
That's what you're looking. Those guys are hard enough to find, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. So.
Yeah. So absolutely, praise the Lord. Okay. So in other words, you just need a man of faith. It's hard enough to find them when they're 30 and 40 years old. But, you know, when they're 15 or 20 years old, you ain't going to find nobody that's got that kind of faith.
No.
So you need a man of faith, right?
Right. Okay.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. We're going to get out from under that.
Yeah.
Squeezer, praise the Lord. Now, I want her to read that whole scripture one more time. You can't. If there's anything I found out, you can't overdose on this, the Word of God.
Amen.
You can overdose on drugs, you can overdose on Dr. Peppers, but you can't overdose.
No. Don't curse me. I rebuke that.
I mean, after all, like this lady here a while back, we was talking to a lady, and she said, well, when I went to the doctor, she said, I went to 4 doctors, and they all told me that I was drinking too many Dr. Peppers. She said, I've got to quit drinking Dr. Peppers. So she said, I told them, well, I sure do enjoy my Dr. Peppers. She said, over the last 10 years, all 4 of them doctors are dead, and I'm still alive. the doctors all died. She's still drinking her Dr. Peppers. She said, I had 1 of 10, 2, and 4, and one extra is when I wanted.
And she was 104 living.
Yeah, she was 104 years old.
And lived in her own house.
And I might say, I put a plug in for my aunt. Yes, the day before yesterday, or the 11th, what is today, the 14th?
Yes.
Day before yesterday, or on the 11th, my aunt turned 100 years old.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad's sister. She's 100 years old. So anyway, like this young man back here said, we need to find us some elders, and you need to pray, and then need to repent of sin. And if this part, this next part, I really want you to get a hold of this. This is talking about praying for rain. In other words, some people say, you can't pray and get rain. Let me tell you what. You can pray, and if you pray in faith, God will move the world to answer your prayer.
Amen.
Here just a few years ago, it was this time of year, Christmas, and it was a day kind of like today, you know, it was warm and sunny and clear, and no snow in the forecast at all for the Metroplex, none whatsoever. Dave's kids come to me and said, "Papa T, we want snow for Christmas." I said, "Well, pray." I mean, you can pray. They said, "Well, we're going to pray." So they all got together, all of them.
Six of them.
Yeah. There's six of those babies. They all got together and they prayed the prayer of faith for God to send snow on Christmas Day. "Lord, thank you for our snow." And I said, "Now go on in and start saying, 'Thank you, Lord, that we have snow Christmas Day.'" And so those kids were jumping up and down, praising the Lord for Christmas snow. Went to bed that night. It was a beautiful, clear night. Woke up the next morning, it was 6 inches of snow on the ground. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Every once in a while, I need water too.
Yeah.
Amen. So I ain't got but a few years ago. Of course, I'm coming up on 81. Praise the Lord.
You're gonna be the last one standing.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm going to be the last one standing, folks. Praise God. If you see somebody sinning, and you tell them, and they repent, what does the scripture say you've done for that person?
Save them.
What does it say?
Save them.
Read that whole scripture, honey, one more time.
Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins.
Think about what that said. That scripture right there will show you how you can be made sick or how you can even die. If you don't repent of your sin when you're prayed for, if that sin, let's say that you become a habitual liar, or you're running around with the wild boys and girls, you're committing adultery or fornication or whatever. Does God say to not have any kind of sexual sin? I mean, he is so upfront with it. There is to be no sexual sin among my church. He tells the wife, "Wives, submit your husbands, submit yourself to your own husbands in everything." And so many women don't do that. I'm going to tell a story on me and Cheryl. God does these things just so we can tell it, so you know what his word means, what he says. One night, Cheryl walked in my office, and she said, "Honey, Christy," that's her daughter, she said, "Christy's going to have a little tuck put in her cheek."
Filler.
Filler, little filler put in her cheek. So she said, "When she does that, I want to go in, I want to have a little put in my lip, because my lipstick bleeds." And I told her, "No, I don't want you to have anything put in your body. That stuff could, it's a foreign material, and so it could possibly cause some kind of problems later down the road." And I said, "I like you just exactly like you are. You're beautiful. You don't need anything else. And so, no, you cannot put that stuff in your face." But she said, "Honey, I want to do it." I said, "It doesn't make any difference if you want to do it or not. I'm telling you, no. You don't need it. You're beautiful. Don't you think she's beautiful just like she is?" "Sure she is. She didn't need anything else. She don't need to be made more beautiful. I think she's the most beautiful woman in the world." So that she don't need to be more beautiful. But anyway, she says, well, I would want to do it. And about that time, she said, oh. And I said, what's wrong? She said, my right toe, honey, look at my toe. And boy, she puts her foot out there and I said, pray. She comes over and kicks that foot up there in my lap and said, pray. And I looked and that toe is just over, bent over sideways. I mean, you saw, wow. So I went at her request to pray. I prayed. I said, Lord, I rebuke that spirit. I command that spirit to get his hands off of Cheryl right this minute in Jesus' name. And I said, Lord, thank you for fixing her. And it got worse. He screamed and said, honey, it's not working. And I said, look, now when a man likes wisdom, who do you go to? Go to God. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I need to know what's wrong with my wife, her foot. And I said, Lord, thank you for the answer. He said, son, your wife is not submitting to your authority. Do you girls hear that?
Uh-huh.
You girls hear that? Somebody said, I don't believe this story. My wife's sitting right here on the front row.
Yeah,
she says, believe it. It happened. And then I told her, I said, honey, don't take this as an offense, but I just asked the Lord for wisdom. And he said the reason this is happening is because you're not submitting to my authority. And you know I have the authority in the home. She said, Lord, I repent. I will do anything Thurman tells me to do in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I mean, it's easy now with her toe all bent over sideways. It's easy to get her to... So anyway, her front foot was just killing her. And whenever I asked the Lord for wisdom, and I told her it was that, she said, Lord, I repent. I'll do anything my husband tells me to do. What happened, honey?
It immediately quit hurting.
Immediately. I mean, it immediately quit hurting. Somebody said, I just don't believe that God would do those kind of things. Well, let me tell you, did he do it?
Yes, he did.
Here she is, here I am. We were sitting there, and we saw this happen. And it was her middle toe. I mean, to tell you.
Like that. Turned sideways like that. It was no longer like that. It was like that. Turned sideways like someone had twisted it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My middle toe, my right foot was straight, you know, and all of a sudden now it's turned sideways and bent sideways. It was like somebody took it and twisted it and was holding it there.
And it was. It was a demon.
It was a demon.
The demon had my toe.
It was a demon had her toe. He had legal right because she was not submitting to my authority. And it's amazing how all this works. But let me tell you, the curse causes cannot come to rest. So it's amazing how these things work. But whenever you see it work, in fact... Go back one more time, read that scripture one more time.
The one about Elias or the backup, is any sick?
The what, honey?
Is any sick among you? Or you?
Any sick among you.
Okay, 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Okay. If the church believe this scripture, if we believe this book, anytime any one of us got down or sick or whatever, what would we do?
Go to church.
We go to the pastor and say, Pastor, I need you to get two or three of your elders. How many do I need?
Two or three.
How many?
Just two.
Just two or three, right?
Yes, sir.
If I want to get four or five, is that okay?
That'd be okay.
If I just find one, that's not quite good enough.
At least two.
It'd be better to have more the better. In other words, here's what we should do. Anytime we come down with something, anything, if I'm not feeling good, thank you, Lord. If I'm sick or somebody's sick, I walk into church this morning and there's somebody here back here and they got a runny nose, just like I did. What should I do?
Bless.
Let me pray for you, sister.
Bless them.
In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for healing my sister. Did he tell you to lay hands on the sick and they'll get well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If he told you to lay hands on the sick and you get well, then why don't we do that? Why don't we take that scripture we just talked about? That James 5, 14, 15, and 16. If that verse means what it says, and why would it not mean what it says? Is it God's word?
Yes.
So why do we not pray for one for another? Boy, you are 100% right. I mean, we are eat up with it, aren't we? That wasn't hard, was it? Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Is that what he said? He didn't even tell you you had to pray for them. Just said, lay hands on them.
Right.
And they'll get well. I'm telling you. You want to know why we get so many people healed at this little place? Why do you think we get so many people healed? How many of you in this room right here have been healed at a healing school or something? Isn't that something? Mike? Come here.
You want the microphone?
Yeah.
There you go.
When you came here, how many years did you have back trouble?
Only 20.
Did you hear what he said? Only 20 years when he came here? And you and your wife made a big mistake. You started listening to this crazy country preacher.
Yes, sir.
Wow. And one day you was at home working on your bathroom, and you were hurting, you were washed out. Your back was killing you.
I knew I was going down.
You knew you were going down. So you go get your lovely bride.
Yes, sir.
And tell her that you got to pray for me.
That's right.
And she says, well, you know, Pastor Sermon did say that if two of us on earth are agreed about anything, that I'll heal you.
Amen. That exact scripture, Matthew 18:19.
And so she prayed and laid hands on you, and a 20-year back problem, what happened to it?
We thanked the Lord and said, thank you, Daddy, for my healing. And in one heartbeat, my legs didn't tingle anymore. The pain was gone. I hit the ground like a baby, just crying for the first time in 20 years. I had total peace in my body.
Wow. How long was this available to Mike? For how many years had this been available?
Only 2,000.
Only 2,000. And you never had got hold of it, but you did today.
Amen.
And you've been well ever since, right, Mike?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't that something? Praise. Thank you, Mike.
Yes,
you want to find a man that can pray the prayer of faith for you? Look him up. I guarantee he can pray the prayer of faith. He knows it works, right?
Amen.
But if you know it works, you believe, how many of you in here should be praying for people and getting people healed? Every one of us. Every person in here. The part that's so difficult. This is the part that I think is so difficult. Did I just do what Scripture told me to do?
Yep.
Say, thank you, Lord, for healing this brother.
Yep, Lord. Yep.
He's healed in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Lord, if there's any kind of sin in his life that he needs to repent of, we remit his sins. Yeah, John. In fact, John 20:23. I want you all to look at John 20:23. How many of you have ever forgiven somebody else's sin? Most people don't believe they can do that. Just think. Mike and Gracie, he'd been down. Did you hear how long he'd they'd been down with his back? How many years did he say? 20 years he'd been down with his back. Of course, Kim up here, she'd only been down, I think, like 7 or...
Yeah, 7 years.
7 years with her back. And God healed her, and he wanted to heal her because he just wanted to heal us. She wouldn't even come up for prayer. She didn't even find the elders. She just... In fact, she didn't know what she was doing.
That's right.
And God healed you anyway, didn't he, Kim?
That's mercy.
No, that's grace.
Grace.
That's grace, 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 and more grace.
Amen.
Wow. I just stand in awe to thank that. What he says. One more time, honey. Read that James 5, 14, 15, 16. Listen to this one more time, and then you wonder why we're sick.
I thought we were on the John thing.
Oh, okay, yeah, John 20:23, yeah.
Is that where we're at now?
Yeah, that's where we're at.
John 20:23. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.
Okay, so can you forgive sin?
Absolutely.
You know, I gotta tell you, I had been teaching this at this church about how we can forgive sin. And Kim and Scott, they live in Weatherford. They were over there. They come in one night. They have the knowledge in them that they can forgive sin. So they come in one night, and the power was off. And they called the power company, and they said, well, by morning it should be back on. Well, they went to bed that night because it was already 10 or 11 o'clock. They went to bed, woke up the next morning, and still no power. So they went to the Lord, not the power company this time. Lord, what's wrong with our power? We don't have no power. And the Lord, when she prayed, said, Kim, remit the sins of this block so I can turn the power back on. Is that what you heard?
Exactly.
Exactly what she heard. Kim, remit the sins of this block so I can turn the power back on. And her reply to God was, Lord, I can't forgive the sins of all these people. Who just told her to remit the sins?
The Lord.
The Lord did. He knew she had been trained. He knew that I'd been teaching the principles of the kingdom, and they were true. So then she called herself, and she said, oh, my goodness, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry. I remit the sins of this entire block in Jesus' name. And bam, the power came back on just like
Amen.
That.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
On this earth, you have been given dominion and authority. Is that true?
Yes.
So if you have not confessed your sins, you need to. You need to get rid of all sin. You need to make sure that you've confessed your sin. Now, the thing about this is, where we miss it is when we pray, sometimes we expect the healing to take place or the answer to our prayer to take place right now. And that if it don't happen right now, it ain't going to happen. But that's not true. That's definitely not true. You can pray and believe, and it will come to pass every time if you get rid of your sin.